In a move that backed up consecutive governments' hardline approach to refugees and asylum seekers, this week's federal budget announced continued increases in detention spending, while achieving savings through the withdrawal of access to social service safety nets for new migrants. Jana Favero is the Director of Advocacy and Campaigns at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. She says while there are some areas of investment that are welcomed, there are some serious concerns to be raised.
There are some positives, which we are happy to acknowledge, but when you then make policy announcements through a budget which cause systemic discrimination of people living in our community, those small measures are welcome, but they don't address the bigger issues.
One of those is the newly arrived residents' waiting period, which will have people excluded from safety nets for at least 4 years. What damage is that going to do to the migrant population?
Oh, this will have an absolutely devastating impact. And it means that when a migrant arrives in our country, that for 4 years, they won't be able to access general social services, such as Job Seeker, such as paid parental leave, such as family tax benefit and other areas. They may arrive, they may have worked for 2 or 3 years, and then for circumstances out of their control, they may lose their job or they may fall pregnant. And even though they've been working and paying taxes for a number of years, until they meet that 4 year period, they won't be available to access any of those social services support. It was a complete surprise and shock, and it really was a blow to fairness, equality in our community.
The pressure then flows into non-government and community-led organisations to fill the gap, doesn't it?
That's right. The impact on this wider social services providers in Australia will be huge because they will have to step in where government policy and government safety net doesn't extend. It also means that I think anyone knows if ever you've lost your job, the biggest thing when you're looking for a new job is to have some support. By removing access to social services that period, it's going to force people into a cycle of disadvantage and poverty. I mean, we know that it will affect 13,000 individuals and 45,000 families in the first and foremost, and then we expect that that would increase as net migration does increase. This is not just an arbitrary policy measure. It will have an impact on individuals, on families, on women and children, but also on the social services sector's ability to respond.
Another area was a massive investment in detention centres. What's driving that?
There's the $464 million which will expand onshore detention network, and then $1.3 billion on offshore detention. That continuation of seeing detention as a deterrent and as punishment rather than processing people's claims in the community at a fraction of the cost, much more humane. People are able to rebuild their lives while they're waiting for the refugee status determination process to go through. But it really does show that commitment to punishing people who have arrived seeking safety and also to keep them locked up and out of sight and out of mind. We know that once someone is in the detention network, there's very, very little oversight, accountability and transparency as to what happens. And the additional spending can only indicate that more people will be moved into detention, which is extremely worrying.
How many people are currently in detention in Australia?
There are about 1,500 people. That is made up of people who are refugees, who are those who are seeking asylum. It also includes people who have overstayed visas or who are ready to be returned home. So by the government mixing everyone together, they're not making a difference between those who should not be in detention because they're here simply seeking safety and those who perhaps may need to be.
How much less expensive would the alternative be?
For someone who's detained offshore on Papua New Guinea or Nauru, the cost is $3.4 million per year per person. For someone to be claimed to be processed in the community, fully supported, to have access to all social services, the cost estimates between about $30,000 and $80,000 per person. Even if you're not good with numbers, you're not an economist, you can just see the disparity.
The government appears to have made a positive decision to address the backlog in cases, which are with the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, but there's a sting in the tail to this announcement, isn't there?
It's good that the backlog of cases will be addressed, but it doesn't actually help address some of the bigger issues with access to justice in terms of AAT needing greater transparency and accountability. This is not meaning that it will go to community legal centres so people have better and greater representation. As we see time and time again, any money that's invested in areas that may help a backlog, it's not the full story and the full picture. So it certainly doesn't eliminate and alleviate all of those access to justice of people seeking asylum and refugees.
There is the support that's being provided to support people with mental health deterioration and allocation for torture and trauma services, and that includes people seeking asylum. What are the challenges to delivering that?
There is investment into mental health. There's investment into cold communities around English language. There's greater investment specifically for migrant women's safety and social and economic inclusion. That is all really welcome. But when you have a look at, well, what are the main contributor of mental health and stress? It's a system. It's that people have been detained for up to 8-10 years and then are suddenly released, or the fact that they're only on temporary visas and they can't reunite with their family. So if you're putting money into mental health, which is great, you're only sort of treating the problem and the effects, you're not treating the cause as well.
Finally, the humanitarian intake program hasn't been adjusted. What's your response to that?
There was some positive media earlier this week looking at possibilities for investment into a community sponsorship proposal, which would mean that community members could sponsor refugees to be resettled in Australia modelled on the Canadian system. We would welcome this, but only if it came as additional places. But not only were there no additional places, the 13,500 number remains. But rather than it being a target, it's now a ceiling. And that is a huge difference. If you have a ceiling, it just means it's the upper limit. So Australia could resettle 10,000 refugees and say, oh, look, we've done our job. But it would be better if they had actually met the target of 13,500. That's thousands of people's lives and permanent home, safe resettlement options in Australia that may not be extended anymore. That's the difference between being safe and not being safe as a refugee.
Jana Favero, Director of Advocacy and Campaigns at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre.